on those 20 NATO-bound oil tankers that were torched, plus a Green Beret is awarded the highest honor. That would be the Medal of Honor. We're going to talk about that during this hour of America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. I'm the host of this show. We like to call it the best water cooler buzz in the business. And here's the deal. If you have an opinion that's left of left, right of right, ridiculous, or somewhere in between, I don't care. It's all about the conversation, my friends. So I'm going to give out the digits right at the top. You don't have to beg for the digits. I'm just going to give them to you. 800-259-5791. Again, 800-259-5791. Should the mood strike you, pick up the phone and dial those numbers and you'll get plugged in. Or you can flip us an email at americatonight.net. Let's start on a happy note and this Green Beret who got the Medal of Honor. Reading the stories about him, just the guy died saving soldier upon soldier, and what a high honor for his family. So the president on Wednesday gives the nation's massive, best, highest, whatever you want to call it, military decoration to Staff Sergeant Robert J. Miller, and he was that Green Beret who died after taking fire willingly to protect U.S. and soldiers from Afghanistan. I'm sure his family was probably choked up at the moment when they received it, but you know what the Medal of Honor means. It means that you've gone above and beyond the call of duty. I love these words, extraordinary acts of heroism, and that's exactly what he did on January 25th, 2008, when a patrol that he led was ambushed in Afghanistan, and certainly he could have still been fighting and laid back in the weeds a little bit more, but he did not do that. He killed at least 10 Taliban members and wounded dozens more by exposing himself to massive fire in doing what he could do to help his fellow soldiers. He is the seventh service member to get the Medal of Honor for actions during operations in Iraq or Afghanistan. And what I liked about the fact that this Staff Sergeant Miller, his family basically received it, what I liked is that they went through a detailed account of what happened in combat. You know, it was there's so many ceremonies. And it wasn't one of those ceremonies that, yes, here's the photo op and here's the medal. And No. I mean, they really, really told the story of the perilous situation and just how far he went to protect the people around him. So, you know, to the parents, it has to be, in one way, just, like I said, the emotion overwhelming for them, but also the fact that they know that the military, that the country is aware of the sacrifice that he made. So just a big shout out to the Miller family, Maureen and Philip, and for everything that their son Robert was willing to do. And that is a true military man. You know, the old saying about never leave a man behind. He took fire for lots of different people and made a huge difference in so many other lives that were saved as a result of his actions. So that's the high note. All right, the low note is what I mentioned, the follow-up on the tankers that were set on fire. We talked about this a little bit in the previous show, but it was a strike on a convoy in Pakistan, and they were just set ablaze. I mean, that's pretty much what happened. You had attackers that had rockets and machine guns, and this NATO convoy was carrying fuel into Afghanistan. What an incredible backup it created, but the convoy was parked on the side of the road, and they knew that this was happening. So the Pakistani Taliban went in and opened fire, and then claimed responsibility for the attack on the oil tankers. 20 is a large sum. I mean, the fire was incredible. It looked like a small city was on fire in some of the video that I saw of the tankers. And I guess people realize this by now, but of course getting the fuel that's necessary to for the tanks and for the various vehicles and stuff that the NATO people are using, and this is a huge blow to them. Of course, they'll refuel and they'll do all that, but you know, pretty much you're talking about like a petroleum bomb, and that's what happens with the tankers catching on fire. So it was poof, 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 and before you know it, 20, and 20 is a very big, big number, and that oil is what makes the logistic support to the NATO forces work. So there are people who, you know, you're talking about a crossing area and Pakistan closing the main land route for those NATO supplies from Pakistan to Afghanistan. It's specifically, someone told me today, it's known as the Torkum border. So after you've got these helicopter strikes across the border, they did kill two Pakistani soldiers, but they concluded pretty much that, you know, the soldiers fired warning shots to let them know what was going on. The helicopter crews assumed that there were insurgents and fired the shots. So when it was all said and done, that was the damage. And the convoys are important for this whole war effort thing because the coalition guys rely on, what do you think, the convoys to bring in supplies and all the gear that they need. The lucky thing is it did interrupt just a tiny fraction of the supplies because so many others had gotten through. So they did have some stocked up stuff. But still, if you're looking at it from the perspective of the Taliban, they disrupted the day and they did have an impact. Even if it was a small amount, it still was an impact, no doubt. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we've got an interesting lady waiting in the wings. You know how I'm always trying to make my cheesy jokes. Well, she happens to be a comedian. Her name's Dina Kucera. And Dina has a wild tale of her own. She's somebody who knows what it's like to go through drug and alcohol addiction. And did you know that this is Addiction Recovery Month? I had no idea. And she's going to share her story of what it was like to go through that and somehow maintain a sense of humor through the entire thing. And she's, like I said, an interesting lady. She's a former grocery store clerk. She had a ninth grade education pretty much because after that she decided she was done with school. I mean, I'll let her tell the story, but she was done with school, and that was it. She was on the road to who knows what she was on the road to, but she was able to turn it around, and I'm hoping that her story will strike a few chords with some of you listening that might have some teenagers that are going down this path, because we seem to have an epidemic of teen drug addiction across the nation. Anyway, that's coming up in just a few here on ATN.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change T will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
America tonight. I just talked about this, the idea that we've got so many teenagers, sadly, who are going down this path of alcoholism and drug addiction and just some rough stuff at an early age that often carries them into adulthood, and who knows what choices they make after that and what they miss out on. Dina Kucera is joining us now, and as I said, she's now a comedian, but at one time she was addicted and was going through some pretty rough stuff. She's seen alcoholism and drug addiction, like I mentioned, firsthand. So we're pleased to welcome her to the show to see what we can learn. Hey, thanks so much for coming on, Dina.
Oh, thanks, Kate, for having me. I'm so excited. It's going to be fun.
Let's talk about this, first of all. I mentioned this before you came on when you were waiting in our virtual green room.
Yeah.
You were a grocery store clerk, and how you got there is you had a ninth grade education, and then you stopped after that. What did, your family was fine with that? It was like, oh, okay, this is it. I'm done with school.
Well, they kind of, my father was actually a teacher, so he was not thrilled. But, you know, I wasn't going to school. So I guess he came around to the concept that, well, she may as well get a job if she's not going to school. Of course, the dumbest thing I ever did. But, you know, when you're that age, you think, I got this whole thing figured out. I don't really, you know, I don't think 10th grade's for me, you know?
So
that kind of started a process of a lot of choices.
So, and when you started down the other path, and you saw all around you addiction and other things that were going on, and four generations of it in your family. What was that like?
It was just normal. It was just, this is what we did, and this is what everyone did. My father drank, and that's what he did. And it was just normal. It was just, back in the day, it was normal. The only thing that was different about my father's drinking is we lived in a religious community. And so when you live in a religious community, you don't really want to be drinking all the time.
Yeah.
That's one of the rules.
Right.
So, but he just continued to do it. So what I remember about all of that was feeling a lot of embarrassment, you know, and humiliation over situations he has gotten himself into. And, you know, the whole thing, it was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
But, of course, I grew up and I did it, so it couldn't have been, you know, too horrific. Because I grew up and I just went into the same thing. You know, that's what everyone was doing. So that's what I did.
So you followed suit. And then we fast forward and you had all kinds of different jobs. You were a bartender, you were a waitress,
yeah.
You were a maid, you did the grocery store, checker thing. And I mentioned this, that you now do some stand-up comedy. You've been a stand-up comic actually for 20 years. So congratulations on that. That's a very tough profession, even
yes,
doing it on the
I'm
side.
Yes, and I'm very good.
I love that, and I'm very good.
I am very good. Yeah, no, and while I did all these jobs, I was a comic, so you had to find a job where you could take off for like a week and not get fired.
Right.
So, you know, it was pretty hard to finagle that, you know, so I spent probably the first 10 years waiting tables and bartending because you could get people to pick up those shifts.
Right, right.
At the grocery store, not so much. They weren't thrilled with it. They wanted me to be a lifetime grocery worker.
Lifetime, I like that.
And how horrifying would that be? So I had to get out of there. I physically couldn't do it anymore. I'm old.
I like that. I'm old.
I think you're young. I'm old. I couldn't do it anymore.
There you go.
I thought if I have to lift one more thing, I'm done. I'm done.
So if we fast forward also through a couple of chapters here, too, through your book, and then you move on to everything you went through, the four generations of drug addiction and alcoholism and that just being the norm.
And then
your daughter starts using drugs and alcohol?
All three of them did.
That ought to be a killer.
All three of them did. And it seemed to be, you know, and I'm sure that this is typical, like with every generation, it gets worse. With my three daughters, it seemed to be really extreme right out of the gate. You know, which was, you know, I was drinking at night. My husband was smoking pot at night. But I think to myself, you know, at the time I thought, hey, I'm a good responsible parent for a good 7 hours of the day. You know what I mean? So
right.
These kids should be fine. But they started drinking, they started using, and when my youngest daughter, Carly, started using, that's when it got really scary. That was for the first time when it was, this is really scary, because she just, you know, by 15, she was a heroin addict.
Oh, so what did you do? What do you do when you're dealing
with that? I had what I call the four stages of the whole process of when your young person is using drugs and they're young and they're using hard drugs. The first couple of years are kind of like, oh, this is going to pass. You know, this is just a stage because she's an angel. This is going to pass, and we're going to go on with our life. And then the second thing is because they're young and they're kids, you think, if I love her so much, she will stop. If I just constantly tell her how much I love her and constantly, she will stop. And then the third stage is, oh, my God, it doesn't matter how much I love her, she's not stopping. But the main point, the fourth point, is the biggest thing that my husband and I have had to do the last 2 years, is, okay, these girls are going through all these things, and it's chaos, and it's a lot of fear, and it's just, wow. But you know what? We deserve a life. You know what I mean? We
yes.
can't spend every single day. Where is she? What is she doing? What's the other one doing? What's going on with her? We deserve a life.
Right.
So it's like you got to kind of come out of the hole and go, hey, you know what? Let's go to a movie. You know, let's go to dinner. Let's do something that normal people do. Enough already. So, you know, that's what we did. We just said, you know, I mean, whatever we can do, we'll do. But, you know, you start to know your limits. You know what I mean? That, you know, I wish, you know what I really wish? I wish more people knew that addicted family members, it doesn't have anything to do with love or how much you love them or how much they love you. I think a lot of people carry around, you know, that resentment that if my father loved me more, you know, he wouldn't have been an alcoholic, and he, you know, it really just doesn't have anything to do with love.
Sure.
You know, or we'd all quit.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We only have a couple minutes left. We want to tell everyone to pick up your book, Everything I Never Wanted to Be. But tell us, I remember this. You were on, you were part of Nick at Night's America's Funniest Mom. What was that like?
Let me tell you what that was like. I was on it twice and I got robbed both times. I got robbed. I got shafted. The first time was in New York. It was the funnest trip I have ever had in my life. It was so great. And I thought, you know, I think I could be in, right? But to be honest, the second trip was not great, and I was sick, and I, you know, we had a lot of things going on with Carly, and I barely made it into that one. Yeah. And that was in L.A., so I didn't do so good on that one, so I knew, you know what I mean? I knew I was pretty much not the funniest mom in America. You know what
right,
I mean?
The second time around,
That was a drag, you know, because I thought I was, but then the next day I woke up and realized, no, you're not. So, but it was just, it was so fun. It was so fun. You know, the experience was so fun. And Roseanne introduced us, and let me tell you, Roseanne looks amazing.
She does. I've heard that, yes.
She looks absolutely beautiful. So, yeah, it was a totally great experience. I've had amazing comedian experiences.
See,
it has saved me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the other side of the equation. Dina, we'd love to have you on again. Thanks for joining
us
on America
Tonight.
Thank you. And like I said, read her book. Fascinating stuff. Everything I Never Wanted to Be. Dina Kucera. And it's... if you remember her, I remember that. I remember the Roseanne introduction, too. It's funny. But she does have a great, great sense of humor. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we've got We Can Count.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutritional tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the buy three, get one free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Just what emergencies do I need to be prepared for?
Terrorism, economic collapse, or the overdue big quake? The immediate time frame after any disaster when you may be on your own is critical. That's why you need a 72-hour kit from SurvivalSolutions.com. Our 72-hour kits have been researched, tried, and tested for three-day survival. 72-hour emergency kits from SurvivalSolutions.com provide 114 essential items, including food, water, light, shelter and warmth, cooking, first aid, sanitation, and communication. Just add your personal items, clothing, and important papers, and you're ready for any emergency. That's 114 essential life-sustaining items. Order now and get a free Millennium Food Bar with each 72-hour kit purchase. Call 801-965-0777 or go to SurvivalSolutions.com. That's 801-965-0777 or SurvivalSolutions.com, home of the complete 72-hour emergency kit.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250-capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Welcome to this edition of We Can Count. You know it's bad when New York gets hit by the recession. The recession put a 3.1% dent, they say, in the personal incomes of New York State residents who endured their first full decline in more than 70 years. Welcome to the party, boys and girls. Paychecks or net earnings tumbled about 5.4%, they say. Dividends, interest, and rent slid 8.4%. Wow. Add all that up, and by my calculations, you get about $908 billion. That's a pretty big nugget, isn't it? So one reason for the hit to the pocketbooks and wallets of New York's finest was Wall Street's dominance with the state employers. And then in that case, you've got pay and job security that are pretty volatile. Let's face it. It's gambling. That's what I call it, gambling. It's great when you're winning on Wall Street, and it's horrific when you're losing. It is like being at a craps table. The entire state has 19 million people, and they lost 367,400 jobs from April 2008 to December 2009. During the recession, the state's unemployment rate hit a 17-year high of 8.9%. So that's a pretty big number. Okay, so we move on from that to the no-hitter. I have to talk about it. I was jumping through my skin when I heard about this because the Phillies, I was watching the game, and then I had to miss a little bit of the game between because of some things I was doing for the show, as much as I desperately wanted to watch some of the innings in between. But Roy Halladay pitched the second no-hitter in Major League Baseball postseason history on Wednesday when the Phillies spanked the Reds 4-0 in their National League Division Series opener in the city of brotherly love. But from the numbers perspective, how significant is that? So he makes his first postseason start in a 12-year career. Strikes out 8, walks 1. He throws 104 pitches, pretty economical, 79 for strikes, and then he goes into the books as only the second guy to do this in the playoffs. The only other no-hitter in baseball history was a perfect game that was thrown by the great Yankee Don Larsen, who won Game 5 of the 1956 World Series. Some of you old enough in the audience listening know how big of a game that was when they beat the Dodgers, who were in Brooklyn, to zip. So that was pretty exciting, certainly for the Phillies, to not only win their first game in front of the home crowd, but in this brand-new postseason, but the fact that he gets that no-hitter and makes massive history for a guy who desperately wanted to be in the postseason, that's huge. You're going to like this one. You know when you go to the store, you're driving down the street, or maybe you take the kids or the grandkids or the nieces or the nephews to a pumpkin patch? I love pumpkin patches. I have a funny pumpkin story to tell you about, and it's a Jersey one. But how about this? I say it's a Jersey one because that means we're going way back in time in the Wayback Machine. The world's biggest pumpkin. So fascinating to me how big these gourds grow. But the winning pumpkin this year, because they do this pumpkin festival, right, and they weigh these giant pumpkins. This is crazy how many pounds. 1,531 pounds. And the place where that pumpkin was weighed is a place in New York called Ellicottville. And they do a weighing. They do a pumpkin weighing. And this happened just a couple of days ago. Boy, I've never been there, but it would be, I think, a very fun place to be because it was just like the land of giant pumpkins. And I'm used to the little tiny ones that are about the size of an NBA basketball. But can you imagine trying to get that thing out of the ground? We got a big one here. I'm going to need a little help. All right, so quickly, my pumpkin story is this. I grew up partially in a place called Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Some of you listening in Connecticut and other parts of the country may have passed through there and know it. It's just over the bridge from Philadelphia. And there were, what people don't realize about New Jersey, everybody thinks it's like the Sopranos, and it's all mafia, or there's a big chunk of mafia, and smokestacks and pollution, but South Jersey isn't so much like that. Sure, there's some, I'm positive of it, just like everywhere else, but there were a lot of farms there that used to be a farm area. And so they had great pumpkin patches. And one of the dares when I was in high school was to try to steal a pumpkin from the farmer's pumpkin patch. And I just didn't want to do it, and got goaded into it. And was part of a few people that jumped over the fence, which I was never very good at, shimmied all the way down to where there was this little river, and we were trying to get the pumpkin away from the patch. And how crazy and silly is that now? And one of the people I was with, thank goodness it wasn't me, I'm sure I came close. One of the people I was with got shot in the butt with the rock salt because the farmer came out and started to shoot a little rock salt. But luckily, I never stole anything in my life. Luckily, it wasn't me that was hit by that pellet. And that was it. I was paying cash always for my pumpkins. That was a lesson learned, I think. Not worth it, no matter what's happening. All right, so we move from pumpkins to this huge solar plant that supposedly is going to yield about 600 jobs or so in Ohio, which is good news because it's been tough times in Ohio. The solar plant is going to be built on a former coal strip mine in that state. There are going to be about 300 permanent, what they call green manufacturing jobs, and 300 construction jobs. This is according to the governor, Ted Strickland, who made the big announcement. And the companies are actually New Harvest Ventures and Agile Energy. They're developing this almost 50-megawatt project, and American Electric Power has agreed to negotiate a deal to buy the power the plant produces for the next 20 years. And they say, with what will be pumped out there, it's enough energy to power about 25,000 houses. So that's all good, I'd have to say. I mean, that's, we're talking about a small amount of jobs, but at least something in the green sector, they're telling us jobs. You know, we keep hearing this thing about jobs and, oh, there's going to be tons of jobs in the green field. But, yes, there's jobs here and there, but not a big percentage. This is a pretty decent one. The facility itself is a $250 million brand new plant, and it'll reach full capacity, they say, in 2014, overall serving 1.5 million. So that's solar energy that could bring some interesting benefits, I think, to southeastern Ohio, and some jobs are better than no jobs, and it's clean energy, so part of it's only temporary, and you'd be talking about 300 that would be permanent. You got a couple of schools near there to help train for these jobs, and one of them is Zane State University and Hocking College. They both have courses and whatnot for the whole thing with the skills that you would need to maintain solar operations. So I'd say this is okay. This is good news. It's one of the largest solar farms in the nation that's going to be built there. I'd be curious to go through it. That would be fun as to how they're going to be able to keep it up and pump it through and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I guess it's going to be built on this, I said the thing about the coal strip mine, but on the former mine adjacent to what they call the Wilds, which is a conservation area that's home to a lot of exotic animals, including a few that show up on the endangered species list. So they did have some space there, but it's not often that you hear about anything. I mean, I hate to say it, but you hear about all the talk about green, but where are the big jobs at the end of this thing? And, okay, here's one little nugget from Ohio, some temporary jobs and some jobs that would be full-time jobs. And, you know, maybe this plant would spur on others, and who knows where you go from there. At least it's a step in the right direction, because I think most people aren't opposed to solar energy. It's just the affordability of it. And they say this plant will do that, that it will be absolutely affordable to the people in that area. The idea that we would all have a windmill in our backyard, it's not happening. Because of, first of all, what it would cost to try to produce the energy from that, it's cost prohibitive. That's a zero-sum game unless you have a massive amount of money and a decent-sized piece of property, because you're not going to get that in most of these suburban areas. And, of course, we realize that. So harnessing that green energy is the key thing if you're moving forward in the green juncture. And, a combination of both, I don't see any harm in that at whatsoever. Coming up, I just mentioned in the We Can Count segment, of course, the Phillies' big win. What about some of the other things that happened in the world of sports? You know, there were a couple of other playoff games in baseball. So we'll jump to that and also tell you about a big move that we were chatting about in a previous show. The Vikings ending up with a familiar face once again in their receiving core. I would have to think that the people in Minnesota would be excited about that. That's coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up
shorts,
my window.
Because after all, we are in the playoffs in baseball. And as a reminder to many of you, we have nailed the score coming up in our next show in the third hour. It'll be week 5 in the end of NFL. So randomly, the game of the week pops up. You call in. You tell us who you think is going to win the game and what you think the final score is going to be, and you could win some fabulous prizes. In fact, you would clean out the prize closet. What a haul. I mean, there's some good stuff in there, and you'd have massive bragging rights, too. It's just the beginning of the playoffs, and in a 5-game series, I'll tell you, you never know what's going to happen in a 5-game series. Because it's, in a blink of an eye, it's done. I mean, just like that. That's life, isn't it? So, this is what happened today. Just score-wise, I'll tell you this first. The first game out of the chute was the Rangers taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, and this was at Trop Field. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Evan Longoria was complaining about the fact that, hey, the fans aren't really there for us because there were so many empty seats as they were fighting to not only get in the playoffs, which it looked like it was definitely going to happen, but where they were going to finish. So Texas beats the Rays handily. 5-1 is the final score. Right away, the Rangers started putting up runs, and the Rays had some chances to make some noise, but they just couldn't get their bats going. So they lose the first one. Now, for the Rangers, it was huge because they haven't even been back to the playoffs since 99. And talk about trying to win the playoff game. They won one playoff game when they did get into the postseason. John Burkett was pitching for the Rangers, and it was against the Yankees. So Cliff Lee, who pitched so brilliantly for the Phillies and then was picked up this season ultimately by the Rangers, just incredible. He shut down the Rays. He outpitched other side, David Price, and I think he likes the big moments, and he had to win, and he did. He had 10 strikeouts. He gave up just 5 hits, and 1 point, because I was watching part of this game, he retired 16 of 17 batters. 16 of 17 batters. So now they go on to game 2. On Thursday, the lefty C.J. Wilson takes the mound for the Rangers against Jimmy Shields, who hasn't won since August 29th. How about that? So hats off to the Texas Rangers for their big win. I'm sure the fans are feeling pretty pumped up about that. And they weren't the only ones playing. I already mentioned the other teams. I mean, as it's full throttle now, playoffs. And it included, again, some real history that was made by Philadelphia. Philly shutting out Cincinnati 4-0. And the big story was certainly Roy Halladay, who tossed a postseason no-hitter. I won't go into all the details because I did in the last segment. But he's only the second guy to ever do it in the history of baseball. So the Phillies pick up their first win into this postseason, and they move on. And we'll talk about momentum. That has to make them feel pretty good coming out of this one and moving on to the next game. So game 2 is in Philadelphia again, and we'll see if the Reds, who led the National League in homers and runs and all that stuff, can get their offense going and make a series of it. One game doesn't make a series, like I said. You still have to go through the other games, and 5 games can go quickly, but I don't think the Reds are going to go down without at least trying to put up a fight. I think that they'll do that. Okay, and the other game was a wild and crazy game, too, and we're going to get to that in a second, but first, before we move on from the Phillies, and because we threw it into We Can Count, too, why not hear from the man who made history? Here's a couple of thoughts from Halladay and what he had to say afterwards.
It's a little bit surreal, to know some of that stuff. But, you know, the best part about it is when you're out there, your only job is to help your team try and win the game. And that makes, I think if you can keep that focus, you know, off yourself, on the team, trying to help, it makes your job a lot easier. You try and disconnect yourself, I think, from the emotions a little bit. Knowing that you've prepared yourself, you're ready, and you try and go out and execute your plan. The best part about it is, the playoffs take priority. And, that's pretty neat for me to be able to go out and win a game like that. And, there's more to come for us and more to accomplish. Changeup was big for me today. Curveball was good. But, I know I always go back to it, but Ruiz has done a great job of recognizing early on what's working, what's effective, and calling that.
Just excitement. I mean, it's a great atmosphere. To be able to go out and pitch in a postseason game that means a lot to the team in this atmosphere, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's what you play the game for. So, it's surreal. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, boy, you gotta love that. Of course, it was a lot of fun just to have that under their belts. And then quickly, I'll just throw this in: the Yankees knocked off the Twins. Sadly, our mothership is in Minnesota, so I know there are a lot of guys at the GCN network a little bit down, but it's just game 1. 6-4 was the final score. Mark Teixeira, his swing ended up making the difference. He came through in the clutch when they needed him to, so that was kind of the saga of that. Speaking of the Twin City, I'll tell you a big story besides the fact that the Twins are trying to get by the Yankees has to be the fact that now Minnesota has a familiar face back on the roster, like I was saying, wide receiver Randy Moss hooking up with Brett Favre. I think that's a deadly, deadly combination. And you want to talk about a deep impact. Moss is going to have it. He spent his first 7 years with the Vikings. They picked him up. It was a steal, really. 21st pick in the 98 draft because of some pot smoking incidents in school. He dropped further down, I think, than he would have been drafted. And he was terrific at one point for the Vikings, and I think he'll be even better, honestly, this time around. Here's what Coach Brad Childress had to say.
He's a good football player. Randy has got a chance to speak to him this morning briefly. He had just taken his daughter to school. Try to get him in here tonight or first thing in the morning, probably later tonight sometime. But he seems to be in a good frame of mind. You know, I'm always excited, as I say, to add a good piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, and that's a big, 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 big piece of the puzzle, no doubt. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Vikings game this weekend will be the game of the week. We don't know, but just remember, Nail the Score Thursdays, our third hour. All right, speaking of getting nailed, Clinton Portis got nailed for the Redskins. Boy, a tough injury for him. And now it looks like he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Is the latest, and that's a serious groin injury. And once again, there's a big question mark there, and the Redskins will struggle, I think, with more inexperience in the backfield. This coming off of a big win against Philadelphia, I think the Redskins are going to be hard-pressed to make something else happen in their season. It's probably lucky that they beat Philadelphia 17-12 the way they did. Now, how is it when they head into a game against the Green Bay Packers? Ooh, I'm going to say it's going to be a very, very long day. Because you look at Portis as a man who can run the ball, what he's been able to do over his career. He's only 109 yards shy. I didn't even realize he was this close to 10,000 for his career and 680 away from breaking John Riggins' franchise Redskins rushing record. But he's only run for 195 yards and on 49 carries this season. Now he's missing some more games, and it's too bad because I think Portis started to show some good signs, like he was going to start to pick it up. And at least he's not going to have surgery, but the groin injury puts him on the bench for probably at least a month. That's how it goes in sports. You know how they say it is, day to day.